After a close election and a late surge by his opponent, Richard Conlon lost his bid for a fifth term on Seattle City Council.
Conlon took office back in 1998. He was elected in 97. Back then, he was a community activist looking for a chance to enact change from the inside.
From promoting miniature goats to water conservation, Richard Conlon's green initiative spearheaded his work on the city council, but it wasn't all about success.
When Richard Conlon stopped by to the studios this morning to talk about his 16 years on the council, I asked if he was a young Turk when he first got the job back in 1997.
Huh. Well, that's an interesting question. There were several of us who came on at that time, Nick Licata, Peter Steinbrook and I. And the three of us, I think, all had the idea that there were some changes we wanted to see made in the city. We all were passionate about the idea of let's find a way to get a more sustainable city. Let's open ourselves up to some new things. Think about the way in which the city could be organized in different ways. We all came in, I think, with that idea, and we found that there was a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience on the city council, and it actually worked pretty well, that combination. It usually is a good combination to have some people who have been around for a while and some people who are new.
That makes me think that some of the older members of the council maybe tempered your beliefs a little bit or tempered your fire.
They have a lot more perception of what really works and what doesn't work. My experience on the council has taught me that it's great to be throwing out new ideas, but you really have to think through what the consequences are. And I think in some ways that's actually a more radical approach, because it's really easy to say, oh, we're just going to do this and it's going to solve all the problems. And of course, it often turns out that there are unintended consequences. Now I understand how important it is to go deeper and really look at underlying causes and really think through what might be the unintended consequences and what might be the long-term consequences of any kind of proposal that you make.
At one point, you identified with the Green Party. Is that right?
I worked with some of the folks in the Green Party, and I thought it was a really interesting idea, a way in which to kind of make environmental issues more salient. I was never really closely identified with them. I've always been a Democrat and always been involved in the Democratic Party, but I certainly thought the Green Party had some great ideas and great people who were involved with it.
Why was it that the Green Party, or for that matter, virtually all third parties, never seemed to get a foothold?
I frankly think that a lot of that has to do with that reality testing question, that you start off with some great ideas and some real idealistic thoughts about what you can do to make change. And then as you try to actually do that, you begin to realize, or the voters begin to realize, that maybe this is not actually going to work. And so I think it's hard for third parties to actually move from the stage of to reality testing, because then some of their folks who are most idealistic may turn off and say, you know, I don't like that anymore.
As you begin to look through your office and pack your stuff up and look back on your years as a city council member, what are some of the things you're most proud of?
You know, I really am just so thankful to the people of Seattle for giving me their confidence for 16 years. And there's an amazing number of things that we actually accomplished. The things that I would put at the top of my list, number one, is the real effort to bring Seattle to the next stage of its environmental stewardship. We not only were able to do things like the zero waste strategy, which has dramatically increased our work on that, water conservation strategies. We're now using less water than we were using 50 years ago, even though we have more population and more economic activity. Energy conservation, all of those kinds of things that were really important environmental strategies to move forward. And then kind of the second thing was taking that to the next level, to understanding that our environmental strategies have to not only deal with the immediate things that are around us, but to think about the long-term future. So the work on climate change, on helping to put urban density and transit together, that's been an extraordinary achievement. And it wouldn't have been possible except for the fact that one of the things that I was most able to be involved with was the neighborhoods around Seattle and the people of Seattle, who have these wonderful ideas and wonderful concepts for the things they'd like to do differently. The most satisfying thing in being on the city council was being able to go out to a group of people, listen to their idea, think about, so how could we make this idea reality, and then be able to find a couple of levers that would enable them to actually move forward with it. That's been the most exciting thing and most fun thing.
If they were able to name a place or a building in Seattle, the Richard M. Conlon, whatever, what would you like it to be?
Well, that's an interesting question. There's a lot of parks and pea patches that I've helped get the funding for and created. I could think of places that probably shouldn't be named after me that I feel very proud of, but things like the Finney Neighborhood Center, for example, where when that building, there was basically the school district wasn't sure what they were going to do, and I stepped up to the plate and got them $2.5 million from the city budget in order to get started the process of buying that building.
Old wooden school building now is just a thriving community center for that neighborhood.
It's an absolutely incredible institution, and there's other places like that. And then another place that I feel a really strong identification with is Casa Latina, which is the program that works with undocumented immigrants. And I started working with Casa Latina when they were just a little shack in Belltown, a trailer, trying to help people get into the society and get income and stability when they were in really difficult situations. And I worked with them really closely, and now they've got a great building on Jackson Avenue. They've got lots and lots of people involved with it, and people are really getting the kind of services and recognition and help that they need. So there's a lot of places around the city but they probably shouldn't be named after me. I just am happy to have contributed to them.
You can't win them all. Are there, when you're looking back, were there some major disappointments, things that you wanted to accomplish that you were unable to for one reason or another?
There are always some things that take a lot longer and are more difficult than you would like to see happen. One of the things that I think was kind of frustrating to me was when I first started, neighborhoods were really at the core of what we were trying to do. And the whole comprehensive plan strategy, the neighborhood plan strategy, the implementation work that we were doing, that was what I spent most of my first term working on. And the Department of Neighborhoods had this wonderful ability to get out and do the things that would help people realize their dreams in communities all over the city. And then it felt like over the last 10 or 12 years, nobody in the executive has really seized that in the way that I think Norm Rice and later Paul Schell really were able to seize that idea that neighborhoods really need to have this kind of momentum and need to have this kind of support. So I've always been kind of pushing to try and say, let's revive the spirit of that Department of Neighborhoods of the 1990s. And so far, I haven't found a mayor who's really jumped on it since then.
Anything you would have done differently?
I've certainly made mistakes. You don't go through as many years as I have without making mistakes, and I've tried to learn from them.
What's an example? What's a mistake that you made that you learned from?
Well, I remember one of the very early mistakes that I made. There was a piece of legislation that came through that essentially was putting in place mandatory drug testing for city employees. And I thought, this is really an invasion of privacy, and I didn't think it was a very good thing to do. And eventually we wound up with a compromise being worked out where it was only certain employees who had public safety responsibilities and so forth. But I still felt in my mind, that is not the kind of thing that government ought to be doing. We ought to be working on things where there's actually a suspicion of something going wrong. And so I voted for it, and because everybody voted for it. And one of the things I learned from that after thinking about it was, if I really don't like something, I should go ahead and say no, even if everybody else is saying yes. And that really helped me. Getting that sentiment in my mind really helped me when it got to, for example, the monorail issue, where all of a sudden, after a lot of years of skepticism, suddenly everybody decided to jump on the bandwagon and say, okay, this is really great. And I was kind of out there by myself for a couple of years sort of saying, these finances just don't seem to add up to me. And I'm not sure this is the right way to go. And it was a little lonely for a while. And at times, it felt like everybody in the political establishment and in politics was kind of saying, just stop talking about this. And eventually it turned out I was right. And the finances did collapse. And it turned out to be that all the things that I had suspected were problems were, in fact, really problems. Mm-hmm. And then everybody said, we better stop and shut this down, which was really unfortunate. If we had actually started 2 or 3 years before that to maybe work on reforming it, there might actually have been something positive that came out of it instead of the complete collapse that we ultimately had. So learning that lesson that sometimes you just have to stand up and say, you know, this just isn't quite right. And sometimes that, I think, probably hurt me because there are times when I took votes that maybe people disagreed with, and that may have cost me in this last election.
Well, you voted against paid sick leave because you felt as though you agreed with the idea, but you didn't think the actual policy really worked well. Do you think that hurt you in the end?
It probably did. I know a lot of people had a hard time understanding exactly what I was saying because it's complex. It's not a soundbite. You know, I was saying, you know, there's a way we could have done this better, and it could have helped more people. And if I had, as I said, when people asked me, you know, if I'd been the fifth vote that was necessary to get it passed, I probably would have voted for it. On the other hand, if I'd been the fifth vote, I probably would have gotten some of the things that I wanted that would have made it a better one. But as it was, I felt it was important for me to say, no, this just doesn't quite work. And the same thing with the Sonics Arena. You know, the Sonics Arena proposal is not bad by the standards of most arena proposals, most ways in which governments do stadium financing. But there were some things in it that I really didn't think were right, so I voted against it. Mm-hmm. And that was one that actually I know some people had problems with.
Let's talk a little bit about the last campaign. You were considered a favorite to win against Shama Sawant. Did you feel that confidence at the beginning of the campaign, and did that confidence kind of shift as it got closer to election?
Well, once we got up to the primary, I think our campaign was moving along fairly smoothly. And then after the primary, we knew something was not quite right, that there were people out in the community who were saying, I mean, when I went out and told people who didn't know me that I was the current city council member and running for re-election, and sometimes people would say, well, how long have you been on the council? And I would say 16 years, and you could kind of see their eyebrows raise, because it's hard to run for a fifth term in Seattle. There's only been about 10 council members who ever have been elected to a fifth term. And people do have this sense of, you know, maybe we should try something new. And so there was that kind of sense out there in the campaign. And a lot of unhappiness about the national government, and people didn't have much way to take that out. So they, I think, took it out somewhat on local government. So, yes, I was feeling nervous right up to the election. Didn't expect to lose, but I knew it was going to be a lot closer than most observers were saying.
Your opponent, Shama Sawant, and her supporters did not play patty cake. They went right at you. They accused you of being a tool of corporate interests. And I'm kind of wondering what you were thinking as you were hearing that in debates with her or reading that in accounts of the campaign.
Well, it was very disturbing. You know, I mean, I understand that in politics you have to you play hardball sometimes and you are vigorous in the debate. What I really found disturbing was not so much the issues on which we disagreed on, which I was happy to debate on, but the attempt to kind of make me something that I wasn't, to kind of objectify me in one sense, and also to spread things that were simply untrue. Like, I remember at one point somebody standing up at a forum and saying, you support coal trains and that's why I won't vote for you. That was ridiculous. I was one of the first people to sign on to the Leadership Alliance Against Coal Trains that Mayor McGinn had and some of the other folks had put together, and had been working consistently to put my skepticism out there and let people know that there was something that we needed to work on with this. So when I found myself really kind of attacked for things that were simply not true, that really bothered me.
After the election night, you led in the vote count at that time, but almost immediately, as I recall, you announced you would not be running for another term. And I was curious about why you would make an announcement like that at that moment.
You know, when I had led, the Ms. Sawant immediately announced that she was going to run against me in 2 years. And I thought, you know, I don't want to take another 2 years of going through this kind of attacks and what I felt were very unfair court kind of characterizations. So I just thought, I'm just going to say, let's stop this right now. If I have another 2 years, I'll keep trying to work on the things I want to work and maybe not let the politics be part of it.
So what's next for Richard Conlon?
You know, I have a lot of things I'm thinking about. I certainly am not going to walk away from the commitments that I have to sustainable future, to climate change, and all of the things that are important issues for the people of Seattle. But I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be taking some time off and thinking about it. I'd like to do some writing, maybe some teaching, maybe some consulting. Maybe there'll be a particular project that'll jump out at me as this is what I really want to do. But I'm going to take 3 or 4 months and figure that out.
The city council elections are again in just 2 years. And because of a change, it's going to be council member by district instead of the current system that you've been elected under, in which you served all the entire city. How do you think this will change city government?
I think it's going to change it. Initially, it's going to be a little bit of a shock to the system, and people are going to have to take some time to adjust to the idea that they're representing districts in most cases rather than the entire city. And I think there will be some tendency for people to say, I better pay much closer attention to my own district than to citywide policies, which is one of the reasons why I personally didn't think districts was a very good idea. But I also think that in the long run, people will adjust to that, and it'll wind up being not as different as either the opponents or the proponents thought it was going to be. I think eventually we'll wind up with people in the city council who are much like the people on our county council and our legislative districts, who are not very different from the people who currently serve on the city council.